Leviticus 25, verse number 10, says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." We do want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We appreciate the opportunity to be back one more time. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to make just a quick announcement before we get started today, and that is the fall semester of the Victory Bible Institute begins August the 11th. And what that is a local Bible Institute. Well, I say local to the area. It's actually located in Roan Mountain, Tennessee, and is a ministry of the Victory Baptist Church. And Pastor Jerry Honeycutt, Brother Honeycutt, is the pastor there at Victory, and he's over the school. And then we have several pastors that come and teach in the Bible Institute. And if you are interested in getting a furthering your Bible education or getting a basic degree, it's actually a three-year program. You get a bachelor's degree, and you have a fall and a spring semester. There are three classes every Thursday night. You can go to the campus, the Victory Bible Institute. You can take classes by way of correspondence. You can take classes over the internet. There are several, I'm not exactly sure how many there will be this year, but there are some satellite schools, and you could get involved in one of those. But if you are interested in the Victory Bible Institute, you can find out all the information necessary on vbcministries.org. And so I wanted to mention that. That's coming up soon. Like I said, classes start on campus August the 11th. And then the week after that, everybody else, correspondence, satellite schools, they start August the 18th. So if you're interested, VBC, and that stands for Victory Baptist Church, vbcministries.org. And it doesn't matter where you are in the country, you can be involved in this. We have students from Texas. We have had students from Alaska, Illinois, lots in Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia, places like that. Well, anyway, I wanted to mention that as we got started today. I want to say hello to Noah. He's here helping us in the studio, and he's always a big help on the radio. How are you today, Noah?
I'm doing well, and I'm glad to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. And what we've been studying here on Blessings of Liberty is we've been going through the little pamphlet entitled Common Sense by Thomas Paine. This was published in January of 1776. It's just a short little pamphlet. And sometimes it's called the pamphlet that sparked a revolution. And that wasn't the only thing that led up to the Declaration of Independence and the American Revolutionary War, but it was a very, very much so a contributing factor in the decisions that were made at that time for America to declare her independence from Britain. Thomas Paine made a very strong case for declaring our independence. And, of course, his ideas were not original, but he just compiled some of the main thoughts of the day. And what we have been doing, we've been going back through that little pamphlet and just picking out some of the key thoughts or the key points that we found in there that we thought were relevant to today. We talked about, to begin with, for example, the true purpose of government. And as that's discussed in that pamphlet, and also you find the same principle in the Bible. In fact, he gives many scriptural principles for making his case. But the true purpose of government, what is the purpose of government anyway? Well, in its most basic form, it is to protect freedom and to provide security. And government is necessary because of evil in the world. If everybody just did what was right, you wouldn't even have to have government. But government is necessary because people sin, because people steal and they kill and they take things from other people that don't belong in, to them. And so you've got to have an authority in the world that protects other people's freedoms so that they can have life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And then you've got to have an authority in the world that provides security. And the way that government provides security is by punishing the evildoer. And so you find that same example in Romans chapter number 13. We also talked about, and it talks about this in the book, we talked about the evil of monarchy. And he was talking about King George the tyrant in 1776. We said in America today, we do not have a monarchy. We have an oligarchy. An oligarchy is rule by a select few or rule by an elite group of people. And we have that today in our government through the career politicians. You will notice, if you know anything about American politics, you've got the same families. You've got the same names that come up over and over and over again in our government, in Congress, in the elections that take place. And so you have these very powerful, influential individuals that basically, what they do, they run the show. And they are involved in everything that's going on behind the scenes. And they're really the ones that pull the strings and push the pedals in America. We have an oligarchy. We have a rule by an elite class, elite by their standards, not by mine. Then we talked about this. We talked about common sense and our independence, that Thomas Paine made the case that it didn't make sense for an island to rule a continent. And he was talking about Great Britain ruling America. And we made the comparison how that little old Washington, D.C. Runs everything in the United States, runs all the states. Even though our Constitution is set up that the states should be autonomous and the states should be able to make their own decisions and make their own laws, everything falling under the authority of the United States Constitution. But what we find in this day is government overstepping their bounds and running the states and telling the states what to do. Well, we talked about that. Then last time we talked about the King of America. Who is the King of America? Where is the King of America? And I read a paragraph out of Thomas Paine's little booklet, and he said this, "But where, says some, is the King of America? I'll tell you, friend, he reigns above and doth not make havoc of mankind like the royal brute of Britain. Yet that we may not appear to be defective even in earthly honors, let a day be solemnly set apart for proclaiming the charter. Let it be brought forth, placed on the divine law, the word of God. Let a crown be placed thereon, by which the world may know that so far as we approve of monarchy in America, that in America the law is king." And so what he said, we need a constitution. And he said, let's bring our Constitution out and put it on the divine law, the Word of God. Set it on top of the Bible. And then put a crown on top of that so that the world will know that in America, law is king. And so he goes on, "For as in absolute governments the king is law, so in free countries the law ought to be king, and there ought to be no other. But lest any ill use should afterwards arise, let the crown, at the conclusion of the ceremony, be demolished and scattered among the people whose right it is." And so he's making the case for a constitution, and that our constitution would be founded upon and in agreement with the Word of God. And then in the end, let the crown be scattered among the people, because it is truly we the people that are to govern ourselves in America. Now, Thomas, and that's a great point, and we talked about that last week, that in America, law is to be king, not man, but law. And our Constitution says that it is the supreme law of the land. I've pointed this out many, many times, from the president on down. When elected leaders are sworn in, when military members are sworn in, they raise their hand. They take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. That's how important our Constitution is. Everybody is to be submissive to it. And the Bible talks about that in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. The higher powers in America is our Constitution. And so we're to be subject unto that because in America, the law is king. Now, the next paragraph, and Thomas Paine is talking about making the case for independence. He points out a very serious consequence of the times. If they failed to do this, what if America had never declared her independence? That's the case he's making. And I want to read what he said. What I'm going to talk about today, if not the law, then who? If the law is not king, then who is the king? Where is the king? That's what I'm talking about today. Meaning, if they failed to establish a constitution and follow it as the law of the land, and he said in America the law is king, then the consequence could be that the government would be stolen or usurped by somebody like he calls an opportunist. Now let me read what he said. A government of our own is our natural right. It is infinitely wiser and safer to form a constitution of our own in a cool and deliberate manner while we have it in our power than to trust such an interesting event to time and chance. If we omit it now, some Massanello may hereafter arise who, laying hold of popular disquietudes, may collect together the desperate and the discontented, and by assuming to themselves the powers of government, may sweep away the liberties of the continent like a deluge. Now, he makes a reference to a man named Massanello. And Massanello, who is referred to as Massanello, was a fisherman in Naples, Italy. And he says in the footnote, who, after spiriting up his countrymen in the public marketplace against the oppression of the Spaniards, to whom the place was then subject, prompted them to revolt, and in the space of a day became king. And so Thomas Paine makes the case. He says, if we don't come together and come up with a constitution whereby we may govern ourselves, then somebody will come along in the heat of the moment and stir the people up, and the people will follow them. They'll make him king in a day, and all of our liberties will be washed away like in a flood or a deluge, is what he says. But he says a government of our own is our natural right. And I've said this before in talking about common sense, that it seems like that our nation has come full circle, that we're almost back to where we were in the 1700s before the Declaration of Independence, come full circle again. And what I mean by that, everything, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Everything we used to love and hold dear in America, and I'm talking about the Declaration of Independence, I'm talking about even the Word of God, talking about the United States Constitution or the Bill of Rights, all of those things, we find them that they are under extreme criticism. In fact, people in schools, political leaders, I've heard and read comments, they say, you know, we don't even need to study that anymore. It's irrelevant now. Well, it's under attack. It's being criticized. Our law, the law of the land, the United States Constitution, many times is just ignored. The Bill of Rights is ignored in our land today. And so these things we used to hold dear are now under attack. The Word of God, people don't want the Ten Commandments in the public places and things like this. All these things we used to hold dear are under attack. Now, here's where we are in America. The common folk, the common person, the government will run you down over a couple of $1,000 in taxes, a disagreement there, or you fall behind. They'll chase you to the ends of the earth. They'll imprison you. They will fine you. They will hound you, call your house, send you letters, drown you in red tape. They will go to spare no expense in hunting down the common person. But now somebody like Hillary Clinton can commit treason and give away state secrets, and all of a sudden the law doesn't apply to her. And she can just walk away scot-free. And so you say, what's going on there? Well, she's on the inside, and the common people are on the outside. And for some people in our land, and not just her, that's just a recent example, but for the majority of people in our land, the law applies harshly. But then there are others who are on the inside, and it doesn't apply at all. You know, when it comes to them being subject to the same laws, they don't seem to be subject. That is just one example that we could give. Now, if we do not have law, if we don't want law, then what are we going to have? And I want to give you an example from the Bible. And I preached a message years ago, and I called it this, history repeats itself. Of course, I'm not the first one to ever say that. But we find that to be true. If you are a student of history, that it does tend to repeat itself. But I want to give you an example of somebody in the Bible called Barabbas. And maybe you've heard of Barabbas before. Barabbas is the man who, when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he was released unto the people. Now, he was in prison already when they brought Jesus to trial, when they arrested him. And the trial of Christ took place over just a very few short hours, late in the night and early the next morning. But while the Lord Jesus was on trial, there was a man laying in prison, bound, who was there. And the Bible gives several reasons why he was there. But it talks about this man named Barabbas. And Pilate, the Roman governor, he had a tradition that every year at the Feast of the Passover, he would release a prisoner unto the Jews. Now, Pilate was trying to, he wanted to get rid of Christ. He wanted to, he wanted this off his hands. And he wanted to release Jesus back to the Jews. And he said several times, I find no fault in him. What evil hath he done? You know, he didn't find anything that the Lord Jesus had ever done that was worthy of the death sentence. And so he made this proposition that he released a prisoner, and he said, shall I release unto you Jesus, the King of the Jews? Well, they didn't want Jesus. They wanted this man Barabbas, and they called out. The people called out. They wanted Barabbas to be released. He was already in prison, and they wanted Jesus to be crucified. And they couldn't even give a reason. They just said, crucify him, let his blood be on us and on our children. They just did. The mob did not want Jesus Christ to be released. But who they wanted Barabbas. Now, let me tell you some things about Barabbas. Barabbas, according to the Bible, was an insurrectionist. Mark chapter 15, verse number 7. That's one of the reasons he was in prison. He was involved in the insurrection. An insurrection is a rising against. Luke chapter 23, verse number 19 says that Barabbas made sedition. Now, to make sedition, what does that mean? A sedition is a tumultuous assembly. It's a riot, is what it is. It is an assembly of men rising in opposition. And let me tell you the kind of person Barabbas was. Now, that you got to keep in mind, they did not want Jesus. They didn't want the truth. They didn't want the way, the truth, and the life. That they did not want the law in the Lord Jesus. They didn't want what was right and good, but they cried out for Barabbas. They wanted Barabbas released unto them. Barabbas was a troublemaker. Barabbas was an individual that had stirred up the people. He had caused riots. He had caused protests. He was behind. He was the undercurrent behind all these things. He was the cause of anarchy, the absolute opposite of rule by law. He was for rule by no law and just causing mayhem and everything among the people. That's the type of person that Barabbas was. Now, does that sound familiar to you today? Look in our country. Look what's going on. Look at the news. The news itself. I'm not saying look at the news, but I'm saying NBC, CBS, Fox, ABC, MSNBC, all of them. They are designed to stir up the people, to divide us, to cause one group of people to hate the other group of people. In fact, it is so obvious. If you're a conservative, you watch Fox News. If you're sort of somewhere in the middle, you might watch CNN. If you're liberal, you're going to watch MSNBC. They're going to say the things that are pleasing to you. They're going to say the things that you want to hear. And then when one group watches the other, boy, it makes them mad. A sedition, a rising up, a stirring up of the people. News, the news is designed to stir people up, to anger them, not just to give the news of the day, but it has it's propaganda. And it is given out with a certain aim in mind, and that's to keep people stirred up and angry and mad all the time. That's what sedition is. Look at the politicians in our country. It's the same thing, stirring people up, causing division among the people. We're not united as a nation. We are so divided. Our country is more divided than it has been in many, many years. Maybe you'd have to go back a generation or two into the 60s to see our country as divided as it is today. Why is it divided? Our leaders are seditionists, many of them. They're insurrectionists. They're stirring up the people. They're causing many of the problems that we see going on in our country today. So Barabbas was a seditionist. Barabbas also, according to the Bible, was in prison for murder. He had committed murder in the insurrection, Mark 15, verse number 7. Acts chapter 3, verse number 14, Peter said to the Jewish people there, he said that you desired a murderer to be granted unto you or given unto you. And he was talking about Barabbas there. Barabbas was a murderer. Now, if we reject the law as a country, then what we're going to have over us are seditionists and murderers, people who have committed murder, people complicit in murder, people who are involved in murder, people who are accessories to murder. If you look at our politicians, some that's been in Washington for decades, many of them have a lot of shady things in their past that they've been involved in. In fact, I would encourage you just study it out for yourself. Google this. Go to your computer and Google the Clinton body count. And what you'll find out is the Clintons have a long history of people that they have been close to and associated with that have disappeared, committed suicide, been killed in plane crashes, had all kinds of, drownings, being run over, like the one fella, he was in a strange, I can't remember his name, but he was killed by a barbell, choking him to death. Strange accident on the very day he was to testify something against the Clintons. And I mean, it's a long list. Just look it up for yourself and study it out. Murderers. Now, I remember when George Bush was president, George W. And, he started calling for drone strikes in the Middle East. And boy, people, they protested about that. They said he was the criminal of the century and ought to be arrested and tried for war crimes and killing innocent lives and all this kind of stuff they were talking about. Well, Mr. Obama's just carried on, done the same things. What about abortion? Abortion is murder. The Bible says thou shalt not kill. If there's anything in the world such as an innocent person, it would be a person in the womb. If anybody ought to be protected, it ought to be the ones that are least able to protect themselves. But our society is an abortion society, and looks at it as a problem. And so on and on and on we could go. If we reject the law, then we're going to have insurrectionists, seditionists, murderers. Here's something else that Barabbas was. Barabbas, according to John chapter 18, verse number 40, was a robber. That means he was a thief. That means that he would steal and take what was not rightfully his. Have you ever saw that bumper sticker that says to the government, thou shalt not steal? God doesn't like that. And so what do you have? What do we have? When we reject, as a society, as a nation, when we reject law and order, we become subject to seditionists, murderers, robbers, anarchy. And do we not see our country headed in that direction today towards anarchy? How come? It's not always been that way. Because we've rejected the law. We've rejected the Bill of Rights, which is good for us, which is for our protection. We have foo-fooed on our history and our heritage. And we've said that it's bad when in actuality it is good. Here's what the Bible says in Psalms chapter 11, verse number 3. It says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, I used to think, just in the past few years, I used to think that the foundations were destroyed. Now, if the foundations are destroyed, you are really in bad trouble. But I found something a while back. I come across something a while back in studying my Bible, and I've come to see that just a little bit differently. The foundations are not destroyed. We still have our founding documents. We still have the Constitution. We still have the Bill of Rights. We still have the Declaration of Independence. We have all of these things. They are not destroyed. They're just covered up with so much rubbish that most people can't see where they are or what they're for. And I come across that in studying the book of Nehemiah. When the walls were torn down and the gates were burned with fire, Nehemiah went back to build the walls, and all they had to do, they had to clean the rubbish off of the foundation. The foundation of the walls were already there, but they could not build till they got rid of the rubbish. When you get rid of the rubbish, it sheds light on the foundation. And what we need in our country, we need to get rid of the rubbish. And that means trash. That's what that's talking about. There's a lot of trash. There's a lot of stuff piled up on top of our foundations. And it's very hard to start, to do anything worth anything, to establish anything lasting until you get back to the foundation. The foundations are not destroyed. They're just covered up. Say, what are you talking about? What kind of rubbish? Well, and time is quickly come and gone today, but I'll give you one example of rubbish. And that's this idea that there's a difference between Republicans and Democrats. And people are loyal to the blood over one of the other. And really, there's not very much difference. That Republican-Democrat game that goes on, it's killing our country. It's destroying us. It's dividing us. And neither one is doing very much at all for good, but they're all doing a whole lot of bad. Well, that's one example of some rubbish that we need to get out of our minds. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Remove the rubbish. It shines light once again upon the foundation. Well, we've come once again. Our time has quickly come and gone. We do appreciate you listening in to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We can be heard right here on Tuesdays, every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. and then on WZAP and also 89.1 FM, The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. We appreciate all of our listeners, and Noah's going to come give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church website at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.